there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
This morning, Mike's going to bring part three, so please put your hands together and welcome to the stage, our pastor, Mike.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Great to see you. You may have noticed there's a camera around as well, and so I just want to say before I begin, if you're watching and you're part of our online church, it's great to see you as well. Welcome to One Church Bristol. Everyone say hi. That's it. And you're joining us for part three of our serving series, and this is the title of my message this morning, Serving When You're Broken. Now, I'm doing a bit of a project at home at the moment. I'm doing my garden. In fact, I'm doing both my front garden and my back garden. And so if my back is feeling a little bit worse for wear at the moment, because I've been doing a lot of digging up roots of old trees. And I borrowed a fork from my dad, you know, one of the big garden forks, not a eating fork, a big garden fork. And so I had this tree that I needed to dig up. I'd already chopped the trunk off. I just had the roots in the ground. And I got that fork, and I rammed it in, and I put my foot on it, and I pulled back, and the fork just snapped, just cracked like that. And I knew I was in for a really difficult day, because they were deep roots. It was really tough. Thing is, that fork, I just had to throw it away. The fork is the right tool, but it's broken. Now it's at the tip, in Mangotsfield, somewhere. But what I want to say to you this morning is, when it comes to serving God, if we're broken, God doesn't just throw us away.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, God is so good that God uses us broken.
Yeah. Yeah.
God uses us broken.
That's good.
I can tell you this without a shadow of doubt, that in the 20 or so years that I have been serving God here at this church, there have been days, weeks, months, and seasons where I have personally felt broken. And yet, God has ministered, God has worked, God has loved, God has spoken through my brokenness, through my broken life. He didn't chuck me out.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God. Because
I'm
a broken fork. And yet God continues to use broken things. Isn't that wonderful? Because it's not us that get the glory, it's Him.
Right.
It's not us that are the big deal, it's Him.
Yeah.
I want to talk about serving when you're broken. And I am going to go to a passage of scripture, a book really, in the Bible. That's one of the most difficult, one of the hard ones. Are you ready for this? Ready for a hard book of the Bible? You're sat there saying, oh, they're all hard. Yeah, okay. It's kind of hard to read the Bible. But this one. Like, this one's tough, because what we're going to do is we're going to go, not in the New Testament, we're going to the Old Testament, and in the Old Testament is set up like this. The first bunch of books, I think it's 19 off the top of my head, the first 19 books are history books, okay, telling the history of the people of Israel. Then there's five books, a group of five books, and they're called the poetical books, okay, so Psalms and Proverbs, etc., Ecclesiastes. And they were written by people that lived during the history books, okay? And then you get another bunch of 19 books. So 19, 5, 19, that's how I remember it. And those books are called the books of the prophets. And it's there that we're going to go today. The prophets lived during the history books. Are you with me?
Right.
So that's how the Old Testament works. And one of those prophets was a man named Hosea. Hosea. And what you need to know about the prophets is they're perhaps some of the most tricky books in the Bible to read. And the reason is because they can be quite dark, quite difficult books to read. Okay? Because quite often the people of Israel that God had chosen for himself, they were the people God loved as his own, they were his family. Quite frequently, they would rebel against him. They would go off and do their own thing. They'd worship other gods. They'd give themselves away to other nations. And quite frequently, God would say, no, 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 follow me. And they'd say, no, 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 we're going to do our own thing. And quite frequently, God had to send prophets to give the bad news, to give the consequence, to go and tell them off, to go and kind of bring the come on, guys, what are you doing? You know, I love you, but you keep running away from me. And so when you read the prophets, they're often quite heartbreaking stories. What you also need to know about the prophets is God didn't just use their words in order to communicate his message. He used their whole lives. Quite often, it was like the prophets were a living representation of how God felt. And so God was using the life to communicate, not just the message.
Right.
Now, you're going to get that when we get to this, because this story is crazy. Okay? God's using not just Hosea's words, and there's 12 chapters of his words, but he's also demonstrating to the people that he loves something really important through Hosea's quite traumatic, broken life.
Yeah.
Let's read a couple of verses and you'll get what I mean. Chapter 1, verse 2, right out the gate, here we go. When the Lord first began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, "Go and marry a prostitute, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution." I should say that a bit quieter, shouldn't I? Prostitution. In the original language, it means promiscuous woman. Go and marry a promiscuous woman. Doesn't necessarily, we don't know, because we don't have the detail, that she was somebody who went out and made her money that way. What we do know is that she could not be faithful. That's what we know about her. And God said, go and marry a woman who is unfaithful, who's promiscuous. Wow. Then this is why. This will illustrate how Israel, my people, have acted like a promiscuous woman by turning against the Lord and worshipping other gods. Hosea got a difficult serving job. This isn't car park. Do you know what I mean? This isn't, can you get on the teas and coffees? And I know it's a bit difficult because we haven't invented electricity yet, so you're going to have to find a way of warming up the water. This is not what God's saying to him. I want you to marry a woman who is not going to be faithful to you. And I want the experience to demonstrate to my people that that is what they are being towards me. I want your brokenheartedness to demonstrate my brokenheartedness. I want them to see in your pain, my pain. Who's signing up for that team? Go Zone at the back there. Church teams. Who's signing up for the brokenhearted team? Anybody? No, it's not an attractive job, is it? This is the thing about prophets, you see. The thing about prophets is they had a difficult place of serving from brokenness. From brokenness. We know that it did not go well for Hosea, because you'd hope at this point, well, maybe he'll pick one and she'll fall desperately in love and it'll be a beautiful romantic story where she actually is faithful to him, and what a happy ending it will be. But let's go two chapters forward, so just Hosea chapter 3. It says this, verse 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to me, "Go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover." This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. So I brought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and a measure of wine. Now, we don't have the detail of what happened between the first verse and that verse. But let's use our imagination. At some point, after Hosea had married her name was Gomer, by the way, Gomer. He'd married Gomer. And we can tell from that passage that she'd done the old adultery. I'm trying to be really careful here. Isn't this is an EastEnders episode in the book of the Bible. she'd been unfaithful to him. And I can just imagine Hosea going back to God and going, she's broken my heart. Are you sure you want me to stay with this woman? She's incapable. She's broken my heart. And God says, Hosea, go and love her again. He's like, oh. But she got dressed up. She put the perfume on. I thought it was for me. And then she left. And now there's other children from other men. That must have been heartbreaking. He must have. Just put yourself in his shoes. He must have been deeply, deeply broken by what was happening. Hello? He must have been deeply broken. He's struggling with this relationship. And God says, no, love her again. Love her again. There are three themes in the book of Hosea. I'm going to just describe to you the three things. Hello? There we go. Three things that are going on in the book of Hosea. You ready? Number one, the first thing that's going on in this book is what God is doing in the life of Hosea, the prophet. The second thing is what God is doing in the life of Gomer, his unfaithful wife. And the third thing that's happening in this story is what God is doing in his people, Israel. You ready? Number one, here's what God is doing in the life of Hosea. Hosea is learning to serve God at great personal cost. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road when it comes to servanthood, really. Most of us think you got to be fixed and okay and whole and like everything's got to be good, and then we get to serve. But Hosea tells us the opposite. You can serve God and yet everything not be okay, everything not be as you want it to be. Everything could be absolutely going the wrong way, and yet that does not terminate or cancel you and your worth and value to God as one of his servants.
Right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
It might be difficult to serve from brokenness. It's difficult to serve from pain. It's difficult to serve when everything over here isn't right. It's costly. It's personally very difficult. And yet God is speaking to Hosea and say, and listen, there's 12 chapters where Hosea is still prophesying, still speaking to the people, still demonstrating God's ways to the people, while at the same time having a broken home. Now I'm encouraged by that. The reason I'm encouraged by that is because my home's not always perfect. I don't know about you. I'm encouraged by that because I'm not always perfect. Yeah. Is anybody else? I'm encouraged by the fact that God doesn't throw away broken forks.
Right. Yeah.
Instead, God used Hosea's brokenness to demonstrate his love and his goodness. But Hosea still had to turn up. Hosea still had to turn up. God was still on board. God was still using him. God was still speaking through him. But you can imagine Hosea thinking, this is too costly. This is just too much. I'm going to have to put serving down for a season while I get this stuff sorted out. And yet God is like, serve from it.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
be
good.
Authentic with it. Show, demonstrate. Let your life be a message of servanthood. And that's what God is doing in the life of Hosea. That's what God is doing in his life. I find often it's the people that do courageous things when I know that they're struggling in life that are the most inspirational. If you think everybody on this stage or any other stage that you've seen in church life, they're all the fixed people, they're all the whole people, they're all the, you know, the
Maybe Liam.
If you think that they're all the fixed people or all the ones on the stage, and everybody that's not on stage must not be on the stage because they're all the broken people, then you're just wrong.
Right.
Listen, every single one of us is a human being, all right? With all the same struggles, all the same temptations, all the same faults, all the same challenges at home or at work or at college or at school, we all are under pressure. We're all tired sometimes. Single parents are tired. Parents are tired. People that are working in the National Health Service are tired. People working in your workplace are tired. Everyone comes to church saying, I've had a really busy week and I'm really tired. It's not something that's unique to you or to me. We're all in it together. We're all a bit Hosea. Yeah. And sometimes there are particularly difficult seasons of life. You know, seasons of life where we go through maybe a period of loss, or we're going through a period where our relationship is taking a battering, or we're going through a period where God seems like he is nowhere to be seen and our prayers are hitting the ceiling. We all go through even difficult seasons like that. We all go through those, every one of us. No one on stage is immune to those. Nobody is immune to those seasons. And yet Hosea tells us that God can use our trauma as well.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean, I'm no longer qualified. I'm no longer able. No, no, no. God uses broken forms.
He does. Thank you, Jesus.
So that's what God's doing in the life of Isaiah. Let's see what God is doing in the life of Gomer. Because Gomer is the unfaithful woman. And we don't know a lot about Gomer. But what we do know is this. There seems to be nothing redeemable about her. Nothing admirable about her. Nothing about this woman that you could say is worthy. We know that she didn't need money. Because Hosea looked after her. And when she was unfaithful, God said, buy her back. And he bought her back. This wasn't, I'm really struggling and I need money, so I'm going to use my body to get that money. This was a woman who was completely unable to stick, to be faithful. And she was, in many respects, unredeemable. And yet, what God is doing in the life of Gomer is showing us and everyone that's ever lived since, that God faithfully loves her, the unredeemable. And that God's willing to go to great lengths to buy back the unbuyable, the unredeemable. Gomer stands as a message to every one of us and everyone in this world, that no matter how unredeemable they may seem, no matter how unworthy they may seem, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how far gone, God has enough to buy them back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gomer stands as a great hope, actually, to me, because I'm Gomer. And we're Gomer. Because who can say they have faithfully followed Jesus Christ without fail? Who can say they've never put anything before him? Ever. Who can say they have been perfectly faithful in every thought, word, and deed? Can anyone? No. Why? Because we, just like Gomer, are incapable of being perfectly faithful to Jesus Christ. We, like Gomer, go our own way. We are prone to wander and stray, prone to worship. And I don't mean sing to other things, but put other things as more important than God in our lives. And yet, what did God say to Hosea? Love her again. And I've found so many times when I've come before God and I have felt guilty and condemned and like rubbish, and I've knelt before him, I've only found love. I've never found God to be anything other than loving. Love him again. And again. And again. And what's God doing in the life of Israel? Oh, there's some issues here. I think the battery's died. Run out of options. Thank you, Matt. What is God doing in the life of Israel? So We've seen what God is doing in the life of Hosea. He's serving God at great personal cost. We've seen what God is doing in the life of Gomer. There's nothing redeemable about her, and yet she is loved. But what is God doing in the life of Israel? Well, God is saying to Israel, you, my beloved people, you are unfaithful to me, and I keep loving you, and I keep bringing you back in, and I'm sticking with you. I'm being faithful to you, even though you're not being faithful to me. God is using Hosea's tragic love life to communicate this incredible message to the nation about his grace and about the possibility of redemption, of being able to be brought back. Now, if I were God, this would be a very different story. She'd be done. Out the door, you know. You'd give up. But God doesn't give up on them. God doesn't give up on his people. God is communicating this incredible love for an unredeemable people. I put myself in the shoes of Hosea, and I think I probably would have had a victim mindset, if I'm honest. Why me? What a terrible thing. You know, I would have been depressed, and I would have checked out. I would have probably given up along the way. But Hosea's personal brokenness is the very thing God uses to communicate his own brokenness. Far from brokenness cancelling his worth or validity, God redeems it. God uses it. God blesses it. But and it's because he didn't check out. Right. It's because Hosea didn't check out because his stuff was hard, because life was hard, because his emotions were wrecked, because he was in trauma and pain. He didn't check out. He stayed faithful to serving God, even in his brokenness. And God used that brokenness to demonstrate something to the people of Israel, that he still loved them, even though they'd been adulterous, even though they were kept being unfaithful to him. There's this wonderful passage at the end of the story in chapter 14 and verse 1 to 4, and it says this. This is God's heart for the people. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. Then the Lord says, I will heal you of your faithlessness. My love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever. Amen. This is a wonderful description of the heart of God. I want to heal your faithlessness. I want to heal you. I want you to see that my love knows no bounds. And I want you to see that my desire is not to be angry. I want my anger gone forever. Yeah. So that you are a recipient of my favor and my blessing. Hosea had to go through a lot of trauma to demonstrate to us the depth of God's love for his people. What's the practical application for you and I today? What does this mean for you and I? Well, you may put yourself in the shoes of Hosea for a moment, and it may be that you're in trauma. It may be that you're going through suffering or emotional pain. You may be thinking, oh, I can't do anything where I'm at. I'm a broken fork. And God will say to you, any kind of brokenness in his hands. Let me put it a different way. It's not who you are. It's who's with you that matters. God can take our brokenness, and God can use it powerfully to communicate, to serve, and to bless others. So you may be saying, I was going to check out. Check back in. Be Hosea. Stay faithful. Keep serving when you're broken. And I promise you, God's going to heal you, and you're going to find that season of green pastures again. You're going to find a season of blessing again, and you'll love serving then. But don't just think you can only serve when everything's going great in your life. Maybe this morning you're Gomer. You put yourself in her shoes and you're like, I just don't think I'm a very good Christian. I think I keep wandering away. I think I'm not very faithful. I don't think God looks at me and goes, oh, he's a great Christian, or she's a great Christian. You know, but I feel like Gomer. I don't feel like I'm a very faithful Christian. God would say to you this morning, I love you. I love you. Maybe this morning you've never received the love, that love of God. You may even have faith in God, but you need to know today, you're loved by God. And he says this over you, I want to heal your faithlessness. My love for you knows no bounds. I'm not angry with you. I'm not angry with you. Can we take a moment just to reflect on that word? And let's take a moment to pray and to talk to Jesus. What would you say to him right now if he was stood in front of you, if he was sat next to you in the row? In response to this message, what would you want to say to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You might want to say, thank you, Jesus, that you haven't given up on me. You might want to say, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. You might want to say, heal me. You might want to say, oh, Jesus, I love you so much. No one has ever loved me like you love me. No one has ever cared for me like you care for me. You know, the gospel message is this, that Jesus came to buy us back. Even though we'd been unfaithful to God, and even though we'd gone our own way, Jesus came to demonstrate to us the faithful, reckless, crazy, incredible, massive love of God. And he came to buy you back. And so you may want to say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I say yes. I've wandered for too many years, and today is the day where I say yes to Jesus, and I invite you into my life to forgive my sin, to forgive my wanderings, and to restore a relationship with you. That may be you in the room this morning who, for the first time, you are giving yourself back to God. And I tell you what God is saying to every single one of you. He's saying yes back. You're saying, will you heal me? Yes. Forgive me? Yes. Save me? Yes. Holy Spirit, pour out your reckless love on each one of us, I pray. And help us to know just how much we are loved by you, even in our broken state. Even when life is traumatic and there is suffering. Even when it's hard to do so. And Father, will you help each one of us to respond with faithfulness and service? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to...